Please allow me to set the background. I found myself standing in the hall outside my classroom with a student and the chief academic officer. At issue was the fact that a student threw a whiteboard marker in my room. Certainly not a capital offense. I didn't care that the marker was thrown because they were working on whiteboards and throwing the markers back and forth. I didn't care that the marker broke when it was thrown. I did care that when I asked, that he and his friends lied to me about who was throwing the markers. On questioning the student, his only defense, or should I say explanation, was that he didn't throw the marker first, but he did admit to throwing the marker first, second. Well, with that solid logical explanation in place, the chief academic officer threw his hands up in the air and walked away. And the two of us were left standing in the hallway, staring at one another. Misery and mercy, one with the problem and one with the ability to make it go away. You can decide who is misery and who is mercy. This idea of misery and mercy is exactly how St. Augustine explains the end of the gospel reading today. And it comes to life for us when he speaks of Jesus standing alone with a woman who was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Stones on the ground, dropped, not thrown, dust settling, no angry mob. Just the two of them, he says, only misery and mercy remain. St. Augustine illuminates so eloquently these two perspectives of our world. They can make us or they can break us. And it doesn't really matter who you are or what role you play in the world. We all face misery and mercy at some point. Was there mercy in the scribes and the Pharisees when they brought a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery before Jesus? Yes and no. Certainly there was misery in her life. She's making choices that are not the best for her. There's also mercy that they did not take her directly outside the city walls and stone her. There is certainly, there's clearly misery that the scribes and Pharisees hid like vipers, knowing that this couple would sin and then striking and convicting not two, but one. And then there's mercy in bringing her to Jesus. Surely there is misery in being stoned to death, but there is also mercy that the Roman occupiers, who were also misery to the Jews in the occupation, were frowning upon stoning people. Mercy that she stood in front of mercy himself. Misery, and she didn't know Jesus ahead of time, which would have led her away from the mock trial she was a part of. Today, do we recognize where there is misery and mercy in our own lives? Which one lives and which one dies? Do you really want the answer? Perhaps it's the one we feed. Can we even clearly define mercy or misery? Or would we base it on our own socioeconomic world, never daring to look at mercy or misery from another's viewpoint, because it changes around the world? It's different for people who live in Haiti and Nigeria and America. Even if we don't get the definition exactly right, I would bet that we all have pictures or memories from our own lives and in our minds that would help clarify these dualities. I would illustrate it simultaneously as an existence of mercy and misery as they're on a type of a freeway, coexisting, both with their own lanes, each with an ebb and a flow, one going forward, one going back, casually passing on this road to life. Mercy is one of those, from a theological standpoint, something that's very vague at times. It's hard to explain. But it's very easy, once you look back at a situation, it's very easy for you to recognize and see that you have received mercy. I've experienced mercy from God. I'm also certain that I've experienced mercy from other people. paradoxically, in my own misery, I felt that I've had to forgive myself and give myself a break in order to move on, give myself some mercy. I found this profound explanation for the Latin word mercy, which is misericordia. It is derived from two words, miserere, which is pity or misery, and cor, which is heart. It is said that when we ask for God's mercy, we are essentially asking for God to relieve us of a heart that is in misery. Did you get that? Mercy relieves us of a heart that is in misery. Did you ever have the prayer on your lips that God would relieve your heart of misery? We do every time we come and join at Mass. We pray, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Do you think God's desire for our very existence is for us to be in misery or mercy? My friends, we are to live and share mercy. With that understanding, let us reflect again on this wonderful gospel. The two of them alone remained, mercy with misery. The woman trapped is now being used as bait to trap Jesus. Knowing well the trap that was before him, he writes mysteriously on the ground with his finger, just as his father had written the Ten Commandments on stone tablets centuries before. What did he write? It's a mystery. Perhaps he wrote their individual sins on the ground, or the sin of using people to entice others to break Mosaic laws. Maybe he wrote, "Where's the man?" Whatever he wrote on stony hearts, convicted them, and turned their hearts soft, fleshy, and susceptible. Our hearts can be in a stony state of misery as well, and not just from sin, but from hurt caused by broken relationships with a spouse or a family member, from suffering or loss, from the pain of a physical or mental illness, from losing a job, from being betrayed or abandoned, from spiritual or physical poverty, and on. Unless we soften our hearts and seek relief, then we'll remain with a heart in misery. The two of them alone remain, mercy with misery. Mercy or misery, which one should we pursue? One path is easy, and one path is hard. Evil is strong. It has seductive power. It attracts and it fascinates, according to Pope Francis. Our own efforts are not enough to detach ourselves from it. We need a greater love, and without it, without God, we cannot overcome evil. Only his love raises us up from within. Only his tender love poured out into our hearts makes us free. And if we want to be free from evil, we have to make room for the Lord who forgives and heals. The two of them alone remained, mercy with misery. How often have we been alone or felt alone in our lives because of decisions or unfortunate outcomes? Times when things have not gone the way we think they should. There is mercy in misery, in coming to the realization that what we want may not be actually what's best for us, but finding grace to accept that. Please realize, above all else, that when we feel alone, you're never alone. You cannot be alone. It is impossible for us to be any place that God is not. We are to remain like the woman in the gospel, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus who sets us free, no longer looking at our miseries, but rather at true mercy. Again, as Pope Francis tells us, look to the crucified one and say with amazement, That is where my sins have ended up. You took them upon yourself. You didn't point a finger at me. Instead, you opened your arms and forgave me once again. It is critical for us to be mindful of God's forgiveness, to remember his tender love and mercy, to taste again and again this peace and freedom of a heart relieved of misery. The two of them alone remained, mercy with misery. Today we draw life from this encounter, we in our miseries, and the Lord, who knows us deeply and who is infinite mercy, loves us and frees us from sin. We are called unmistakably by our baptism to have the capacity, indeed an obligation, to share and distribute the mercy which we've been given. This mercy which overflows our cup must be given to those that are in most need around us. Together in these last few weeks of Lent, let us be mindful to enter into and share this encounter, asking for the grace to rediscover the saving power of God's mercy.